All right, Josh Zicky in the WTK studios, the MDN studios. We're going to try to do our best. Big Al is up above cheering on this Michigan team. All Michigan teams won yesterday, pretty much. Michigan basketball.
Yeah.
Women's basketball. The hockey team as well.
They swept the weekend. It just seems like Michigan just doing what it does.
So Josh Zicky, Matt Misler, Tonio back from vacation as he was down under. He's eating some of that Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah, did you get some Outback while you're down there?
No, I didn't actually see a single Outback down there.
What?
Then why the hell would they advertise, you know, like an Australian accent?
So they don't have Outback Steakhouses in Australia.
I'm beyond it all right
now. At least tell us you drank nothing but Foster's while you're down
there. Yeah, they do have a lot of that.
Okay.
And,
well, hold on, because Foster's is Australian for beer, so you're drinking a bunch of different kinds of Foster's or what?
The thing that's big down there is this bitter beer. Which is, as it sounds, I mean, it is bitter beer, but that was the main beer I saw.
Do you get the bitter beer face when you have it, too?
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
Not a big fan
of that.
That's
where you have no teeth and your top lip goes over.
Everything just curls up inward. Yeah, just look up the
YouTube old
beer
that if you don't know what we're talking about.
Bitter beer face.
But welcome back, Tonio. We also have Jacob Babbitt. Jacob's in here. He'll be running. He ran all the games yesterday, pretty much. He'll
pretty
be running
much,
the
yeah.
games today.
And then running up and down the hallway, too.
Yes, yep. He was doing that.
I probably did more running of the hallways than the actual games yesterday.
Sometimes that happens with our the great equipment we have here at WTK. So, good job, Jacob, running the women's game. I know you're excited about that. That was got to be throwing. I didn't listen to the actual call from Matt Park of the three free throws. But that's got to be, you got to have ice in your veins and knock down three at the end of the game.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, especially with only 7/10 left, I mean, it's pretty much do or die.
Yeah.
You got to make all three to at least force overtime. If not, it's game over. And they were able to do that. And it, I mean, honestly, the second half was a little, pretty sloppy, but the last couple minutes and then into overtime was just beyond crazy. So it was a really fun game to listen to and be a part of.
And our new, well, Alex said he was coming in. Again.
He's a sucker right now.
But see, that's the thing about the playground. We invite a lot of people in, and sometimes I worry that we don't have enough microphones. Alex, great job not showing up. Even if you're outside, just leave. Just pretend like you didn't show up. He doesn't have a key card. He's just a former
intern.
Go
ahead and call up. Just call up, and we'll name you anonymous like we did the other day.
Yeah, if you want to call in, the lines are blocked, so go ahead. Just keep trying. 998-1050. Or you can just tweet us, Alex. That might be the best way to get through today. But taking his spot. Is a new intern. You can hear him every Monday through Friday on the M Zone. It's Marcus Ray, right? Marcus Ray?
Yeah.
Is that your name?
I got that size. And
you know
I got that 97 swag.
So if you would hear that voice, you know it. That's Matt Leach. He's in on the playground. His first time on the playground today.
Want to come see what it was all about?
It's a lot of fun. We're just going to have fun. It's taken away from your mainstream radio, well, we have to fit this in, we have to say this. It's all about just having a lot of fun.
Right.
Sometimes we annoy each other or ourselves with a lot of just nonsense.
Right.
But it's like the M Zone, pretty much. All right, so there. It's not that much different.
Okay.
So, yesterday, let's start off with a basketball game that was played at noon. The Michigan State-Michigan game. Now, Matt Leach, on the M Zone, you said they were going to lose. What happened?
I did. I wasn't feeling as confident going into that game. Again, nothing against Coach Beilein and our team. I was feeling good about that team. I thought that they were talented, and I didn't think that Michigan was going to man up and body them up the way that they did. And all the times that I've seen Coach Beilein play against Coach Izzo, it's just somewhat differing styles. Izzo has that tough, hard-nosed mentality, and he's got the big men to go along with it. Coach Beilein had a great, great game plan. Doubling Nick Ward, getting that ball out of his hands early, definitely helped that. Things like Duncan Robinson playing great defense on Jaren Jackson for huge stretches in the second half. I wasn't necessarily expecting those things. So, no, going into the game, again, nothing against our Wolverines, but I thought that they just had a talented Spartan squad playing up in East Lansing. It has always been tough for these Michigan teams. So yeah, going into it, I thought that Michigan State might come away with that one, but we came out, we played hard, we played smart. That was the biggest thing. And we made some free throws, which was nice to see up until the end of the game. Right.
Don't get too ahead of yourself. Okay. We have 2 hours here.
I know, but I'm
Matt
just saying.
Matt Leach already ready. We could
firing all cylinders.
Right. Hey, man, I'm just excited. Matt Leach is so excited
on fire
about
this game. So he you were wrong, but you like that. You're okay being wrong.
I was ecstatic that I was wrong.
Miz, did you make a prediction at all on any of the 18 shows you're on?
Yeah, actually 19 shows now because of today.
Yeah, right.
No, but...
Lucy and Lance, did you give an actual...
Not with them, no. But an Inside the Huddle on Friday, we gave our staff picks, and it came down, we wrapped up with our picks with this game. And at first, at the beginning of the week, when I looked at it, especially at how the Michigan-Purdue game went, especially how like a lot of the questionable officiating was, I kind of thought, man, it's going to be tough for Michigan to go up to East Lansing and try to pull one off against, you know, Michigan State, who, you know, number four in the nation. And then you watched how they played against Rutgers, and it made you wonder, are they looking ahead? If they're struggling against Rutgers, who, you know, even though we joke about Rutgers, not a terrible team. You know, they're obviously the bottom half of the conference, but they're not a terrible team. Right. They're not Illinois bad. They're not Iowa bad.
Calling out teams.
I'm calling them out because they're bad. But when Michigan State had to go to overtime to, you know, to survive against Rutgers, it was like, you know what? There's that little bit of a shot. Maybe they could pull it off. Maybe they could. So I said, you know what? Let's go for it. I'm going for the upset. And if you don't believe me, go back to the podcast and you can listen to the last one that we had.
No one listens to
this. No one will listen to it.
No one knows how to access the podcast.
Exactly. No one knows how to get there. But I did pick Michigan to pull off the upset, and I'll be honest with you, toward, you know, going down the wire there, I was a little nervous. I didn't know if they actually were going to do it, because Michigan State, just anytime Michigan hit with a couple jabs just to kind of keep their points up on the round, so to speak, if you're going boxing terms, Michigan State would come back and they hit you with an uppercut you weren't expecting and kind of shot you there for a bit.
All right, Tonio, we haven't spoke to you in a while. Did you have a prediction on this game that you told anyone?
Yeah, I didn't. I did not think that Michigan was going to win this game. I'll be honest. I sort of bought into the idea that, you know, Michigan State, after the loss to Ohio State and then the disappointing game with Rutgers, I thought that they would really be looking for a bounce back game. And while they may have been looking for one, Michigan did not give them really any opportunity yesterday. I mean, it was a consistent game, I thought, all the way through for both teams. But Michigan, I thought, played with a lot more toughness and a lot more just desire to win, which is something that we haven't seen in this game between Michigan and Michigan State on our side for, I think, a couple years. And it was great to watch. I mean, it was just awesome to see a competitive game just back and forth that we came out on top on.
Yeah, 82-72, the final. I'm sorry if I ruined it for you if you haven't seen the game yet.
What?
Yeah, I know. Some people DVR and then they get mad because they listen to radio. Yes, I'm sorry about that. So what changed? What happened with this game? Was it something Michigan saw on tape of the last two games, or was it just the will and the toughness? Because you hear that a lot. Toughness, and even I think Bridges came out after the game and talked about toughness and how their team was out-toughed. Do you believe that to be true? I believe Tonio said that already. But, Miz, do you believe what was the deciding factor of Michigan getting this W?
You know, it had to have been just the tenacity of coming out in the second half, really. Because, I mean, I don't want to say it was a story of two halves, but it was kind of close to it. I mean, Michigan State went into the half up 37-34, and then Michigan came out and essentially dominated the second half. There were a couple times where Michigan State would have would break a run that Michigan had with a short run of their own. But I mean, I think it did come down to the tenacity of the Wolverines to pull off a big win. One of the big things that, you know, that kind of got a little hairy towards you know, in the game was the foul trouble for both teams, because I mean, they were both, I believe, in the double bonus in the first half at towards the end of it, and then midway through the second half, they're already into the bonus as well for the second half as well. So, I mean, obviously, this is definitely a rivalry, without a doubt. It almost cost a lot of players some valuable playing time. I mean, Mo fouled out in the game, too.
Yeah, but he was laughing while he was walking to the bench.
Like, and I don't blame him. About it. He's a crazy German, and I can say that because I am part German.
That's fine. Okay, just make sure you say that after each of those statements so that we know. Matt Leach, what was the deciding factor on Michigan beating Michigan State yesterday, 82-72?
You know, again, we've talked about it. A few of the guys have mentioned it, but, you know, just you want to say that toughness that they brought to the game, which is not a hallmark of Coach Beilein's teams. He's got very smart teams that don't turn the ball over, teams that don't foul, but toughness isn't necessarily what he's known for. And you see Matthews getting in Bridges' face, making life difficult for him every time he caught the ball. I brought up Duncan Robinson playing great minutes, fronting Jaren Jackson in the post. Teske brought big minutes off. Xavier getting in Cassius Winston's face, making life difficult for him the whole game. But, you know, typical stats that you see Michigan State dominate in this game is typically the rebounds, which they won, but they only won it by one rebound. I think they out-rebounded us 32-31. Not just physical toughness, which Michigan brought that game, but mental toughness. You know, my coach who instilled in me the tournament basketball comes down to three things, which is the style and brand that Michigan State plays, which is why they're usually so successful in the tournament. Our games are decided by free throws, turnovers, and rebounds. And if you can win those two of those three battles, or if you win all three of those, you usually win the game. So we lost the rebounding by one, so that's almost pretty much even. Free throws, we made one more free throw, and we attempted one more free throw, which getting to the rim, you know, I said before going into the game was going to be huge, and that's what really sparked our offense, got it going, and then we were able to kick out for those open threes. And then turnovers, we won that, I think, 18-7. We turned them over 18 times. So, again, toughness, I think, but not just physically tough, not just physical toughness, but mental toughness, too, is what won us that game.
All right, Miz, what's one thing we know about Tonio in Michigan State?
He is in the Ring of Honor Michigan State.
Were you in the Izzone yesterday?
He's got his green and white underwear on right now, I think. They're a little soiled, but I think he's got those on.
Jeez. No.
Tonio, you watched the game from home?
Yeah.
You didn't go. Did decide not to go. Do we know if Jamie Morris went? I think he wanted to go, you know, kind of like, hey, I'm going to the game, but I'll just be quiet and just keep my head on. And I kept calling him out Friday about, like, dude, we know you're going.
Have you ever seen Jamie go somewhere and be quiet and just keep his head
on? No, that's the tough part for him. Even, you know, even for him. I'm like, you know, you have people you can talk to, get you a ticket. But, yeah, I think he's more of it's hard for him to, not go out there and just yell, all right, or that's interesting, or that's funny.
That's funny.
And people are like, oh, I know that voice. I've heard those words before.
He's just waiting for you to yell out, oh, my God, it's Jamie Morris.
Well, that's what I was hoping, that somebody would snap a picture. I did not see that. I know he was on Twitter after the game. I'm just kind of shaking my head at his tweets. But,
yeah,
Tonio, your Wagner's thoughts on the game? Sorry, we got away from that.
I mean, I agree with what everyone said so far. I mean, I definitely think that the mental toughness was a big part of it. Because you could just tell this was not going to be a game like our Ohio State game where we would just kind of get into a lull and all of a sudden, you know, let the other team go on just a giant, you know, tough to come back from run. I mean, this was a game where really from the very start to the very end, Michigan looked like the tougher team. And Michigan looked like the team that wanted to win. I mean, I think the other thing that we haven't really talked about so much that was a huge factor was the defense. I mean, I thought our defense yesterday was stellar. Coach Beilein and all the players, they deserve a lot of credit, I thought, for how well they played defense throughout the entire game yesterday.
Yeah, and Jacob over there, how many missed layups did Michigan have in that first half?
I don't know.
Nine of them. Nine missed layups. Nine missed layups that they had in that first half. So that takes some points off the board. They go down into the halftime at down 3, 37-34. Your thoughts. First, who are you rooting for? Because I know you're kind of a bandwagon guy.
I'm not a bandwagon guy. Are you kidding me? Anyway, the big things that I thought about this game, obviously, were the turnovers. But I think the big thing about those turnovers is Michigan converting almost every time down the floor, you know, after a turn. I think they had 30 points off of turnovers or something like that.
26.
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge game changer right there. And I think that was one of the biggest parts and why the defense was so good and why Michigan won this game. And another big thing for me is it just seemed like they were beating Michigan State off the dribble every single time down the floor as well. They were getting to the lane, and most of the time, Michigan State wasn't even collapsing. especially later on in that game. You saw a lot of open drives, a lot of layups, a lot of dunks. So I don't know. Michigan State defensively just was not there. And considering, I mean, they were one of the better teams in the country. I think they were top in field goal defense in the Big Ten at least. But Michigan really exposed them, and Michigan State had a horrible day defensively.
Right, and it seemed like to me that I always talk about, it feels like their backups for Michigan, the backups for these guys, it's not like dropping off that much. Obviously, you have Simpson and Brooks, both, you know, pretty much you're looking at quality time. It used to be you wanted your big men. It didn't matter who it was. Just have them at least score in double digits, and you knew they were good. And you had, same with the guards. This year, I feel like even with Mo, I mean, you had Teske in there. You had Austin Davis in there for him for a while. Simpson had Brooks. Marr had, you know, he was in and out, but played, what, 39 minutes of the 40-minute game. Matthews, you know, came out. Jordan Poole was in. It seems like the backups, and that's what I love, is the depth on this team. I mean, Austin Davis is, you know, he's really just in there to pretty much make sure there's no runs. And obviously, I think being down only 3.5, obviously with the 9 missed layups, I just love this team and the makeup of the team. Duncan not starting yesterday, am I correct?
Yep, that's correct.
That is correct. Livers went in there, and I thought, all right, Livers, first time starting, he might go in there and try to shoot up a lot. And he didn't. He was 1-for-2 in that first half. Duncan was 1-for-1. I like both that, you know, that whoever it is, it doesn't matter. It's like they switch jerseys, but that position stays the same. They know what the B-line, what B-line wants, and they go in there and do it for coach. But, yeah, 36% from the field in that first half, 41% from 3, 5-for-12, but made all their free throws, which I think is very big. I think earlier in the season they were missing some of those and keeping those other teams in the games, and because of that, well, sometimes it hurt them. But yeah, Michigan State, they're big time in assist. It doesn't seem like they had any, you know, a lot of the time, Michigan, and like B-line said, Michigan likes to get down the court. They'll lose the rebounding to give it up as long as they're down the court before Michigan State could. And I thought that really changed the game for them. Because every time I looked at it, obviously, you know, Michigan State had to actually run plays. It wasn't just we'll beat you down the court and try to score on an odd man advantage. Michigan was beating them back down the court, and that defense really stood tall. And obviously, I think the two guys that had assist, Tum Tum, who doesn't love saying Tum Tum there, he, you know, I think he was averaging about 4. The other guy was Winston, averaging 7 actual assists per game. I only had a few. But man, this team and Mo, I think Mo had an extra, you know, I guess I don't know if I'm German or not. Zinke, I think I'm German, so I can say this. He just had some like more guff to it. I don't think it was toughness. It was just anger to him. I don't know. He was playing through injury. I asked that question on the M Zone. Will he play? Was there a new injury? And we found out that actually he did kind of, you know, hurt something in the same foot, but was able to play through it thanks to the training staff, and because of that, big difference in the game. Anything else, Matt Leach, you want to talk about? I know you have a lot to say. Go.
Oh, I mean, got after that great win yesterday, I've got plenty to say. But it was great to see. It was great to see Mo come back and really kind of regain that form that we had seen him playing in before. It helped. I mean, he hit, I think, his first 2 threes to start the game. He had the and one, and then the 2 threes to start the game. So he had 9 points almost right off the bat. But what was so big about him that we were seeing before the ankle injury that we didn't see up until yesterday was him being able to score off that pump fake in one dribble and get to the basket. And he had that one where he put it behind his back, and I don't know if Ward slipped or if he just lost his jock strap or what, but that was a huge difference in his game, a huge difference in Michigan games. Even just looking at the difference between what Moritz Wagner and not exactly the same player, but a similar skill set with Bridges did over at Michigan State. Bridges, when he would shot fake and get to the, you know, take that one dribble, he was getting double teamed. The defense was collapsing on him. He had to kick it out. He wasn't able to score. That's what part of what made Mo so effective yesterday is he was able to get to the rim and score even off the right at the start of the game, his first basket was that and one. So that was huge, but not just him. Michigan as a team making that concentrated effort to get to the rim. Xavier Simpson having a few, and even after you mentioned, we missed nine layups in the first half.
Nine layups, Jacob said.
Nine layups, and Jaren Jackson probably had four of his six blocks in the first half, or something like that, which can lead to a team getting discouraged or maybe thinking about shooting that jump shot instead of going all the way to the rim. But going back to that mental toughness that they played with, they continued attacking the rim. I saw guys taking charges for the first time. I hadn't seen many guys, line up like that since Jordan Morgan had left the maize and blue. But Rockman was trying to take one. There was a number of guys putting their body on the line. So it was great to see that toughness. I really did like Coach Beilein finally putting Livers in the starting lineup, not just because I think it made the team play better, but even just looking at Duncan Robinson, it took a lot of pressure off him instead of being that fifth starter, having to do so much more than score. It was Duncan, get in there, hit the open shot when you're open. And again, I have to give him so much credit. He played tremendous defense guarding Jaren Jackson for probably a good 10-minute stretch in the second half.
From Jaren Jackson Jr., I want him to be known as Triple J from now on.
Triple J?
Triple J.
All right, well, my boy Duncan Robinson did a great job. And Triple J, he had a few jump shots. He had those dunks in the first half that really got them going. But in that second half, he really disappeared for a stretch, and it was Duncan Robinson, the guy that you least expect to come out with a defensive effort, a defensive stop when you need it, but he was the one who was playing. So if you've got that guy, the guy that's known for being the worst defender on the team, busting his butt and playing great defense, nobody else has any excuse. So it was great, like a few of the guys have said here, that effort on the defensive side of the matchup, us rebounding, because I don't know what the stats are when we normally play Michigan State, but I expect them to usually out-rebound us by more than one just because of their size and their athletic ability that they have every year.
And Beilein likes to get back on defense, so he'll give up some boards to make sure his team's back. And I think that was a big change because obviously second half, they're down three, but obviously come out with the run. I believe Michigan doesn't score their first points until 16:38 to go in the second half. But Michigan State was having trouble as well. They only had a few field goals. Their first field goal of the second half, came at 15:24. So almost a whole 5 minutes before they, other than free throws, made something. Michigan State, I thought, really struggled. I thought the defense, like Tonio said, really locked them down because field goals were everything. All 14 points in the second half off of, in the paint were the only field goals they had, meaning they didn't make anything else other than 1-3 and 7 field goals, which were all pretty close to the rim. Other than that, Michigan stopped them and locked them down and closed them off totally.
Yeah, and even, in that first half, we were down by 3 points, but I believe we were shooting like 37 or low 30 per, or mid-30s, and they were shooting, I think, like 57% in the first half. So that, even though we were down and that is tough, it's a good sign when you're only shooting 30-something percent and the other team's shooting 50 and you're only down by 3, and that defensive effort kept up through the second half, and that field goal percentage came back down to earth.
Yeah. Miz, you're a player of the game.
It's got to be Mo Wagner. I mean, it's, obviously having the
you mean Moritz Wagner?
Yeah.
Mo Swag.
Moritz Wagner. The first, I believe. And, obviously with the questions about his ankle injury, obviously he put that to rest by causing ankle injuries down the lane as well, too. Although he fouled out late in the game, still 8 for 8 from the line, 3 for 4 from 3-point land, 8 for 13 altogether, 27 game high, 2 blocks, a steal. I mean, come on. Kid's a stud.
Yep. And then you look at it.
Duhast.
So they only had 2 field goals in the first 10 minutes of that second half. Then there's a few times in the game where you just noticed that they had a chance to kind of get back into it. They were down 51-47 with 10:34 to go. And then there's just a turnover. You could see Izzo's upset trying to sub guys in and out. It seemed like he was doing that all game long where he's trying to bring new guys in. He was just trying to get guys to do what he wanted, and it just seemed like it wasn't working for Michigan State.
You want
yesterday.
To schedule a second one now, guys? Huh? You want to schedule a second one
Yeah, next time they play, 99-81, Michigan leads in the all-time. So Michigan looking for their 100th win against Michigan State the next time they play. Did you know that?
Going from 0 to 100 real quick.
Jacob Babbitt gave me that stat before before that. So, yeah, they were very limited in the second half. I thought I was waiting for Michigan State to get on a run and kind of beat Michigan down the court, but Beeline did not allow that to happen. And then 1 for 10 from the three-point line in that second half. That's not going to win you too many games in any sport. 1 for 10 from anything is not a good stat to have.
Typically not.
No, definitely not. And you know, another thing that we've talked about it a little bit, but again, the free throws I think was a huge factor, because up until Xavier had missed those two at the end, which I have to give Izzo a little bit of credit. I thought that was a smart idea following Xavier with, I think it was like 2 minutes to go is when he started putting that 50% free throw shooter on the line. But up until then, I believe we were either 19 of 19 or 21 of 21 leading up to that point, which a team that typically shoots 64% from the line for the year, shooting 100% throughout the game is a huge boost. Mo was 8 for 8 on top of having, you know, everything else that he did in the game. Rockman was 7 for 7. Matthews was 4 for 6, was looking good. But that was one thing that stood out to me is, again, the free throws up until the end of the game. But one thing that also does give me a little cause for concern, I've talked about it throughout the year, you can't have your starting point, or you can't have two starters shooting 50% from the free throw line. It's going to come back to bite you. Michigan State, I thought, did a good job of that, but we did a great job shooting free throws up until that last 2 minutes of the game. And just something that, again, that's something that we can take from this win and something that we need to work on moving forward too. Because Xavier, you're going to have the ball in your hands a lot at the end of the game. And you better believe that the teams are going to start taking that initiative if it's a close game with us at the end.
Right. Well, I saw Simpson too, the start off the game where he was taking, I think he took the first 3 or 4 shots, you know, out of 5 and missed them all. And I'm like, oh no, you can't have this. We're going to need Brooks to come in. And obviously it equaled it out because he was able to get it, stay in the game, played 30 minutes. Brooks played 10. Brooks didn't need to score. He didn't really need to do anything. But that's, you have him in there because when Simpson's hot, you leave him in. When he's not, you get him out of there. Tonio, your thoughts overall, who's your player of the game? What was the biggest factor? I think I already asked you that, but points off, turnovers, 17 in the first half, 26 overall. Michigan State only had 7. So who's your player of the game, Antonio?
I'm going to agree with the Miz here, Mo Wagner. I mean, you can't really look anywhere else. I mean, I thought he was probably the leader emotionally on the team yesterday. I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about like toughness and his and the overall just will of the team to win. I mean, he was, like you said, Jay-Z, he was angry. I mean, he wanted to win. But then add into that, I thought he did a great job deciding when to drive versus when to shoot a three. And, you know, just if you had just watched him yesterday without knowing he had an ankle injury, I don't think you would have been able to tell that he had an ankle injury. I mean, that's how good he was off the dribble. That's how good he was during defense. He was around the play, wherever the action was, he was generally right around that area for basically the entire game. And, you know, with his 27 points, I mean, he was lethal. I mean, we needed him. So he's definitely my player of the game. Just thoughts overall, I think right now I'm high on this team. I mean, I think the Maryland game is going to be an interesting game to watch, but I think just moving forward, I'm really excited about the rest of the Big Ten season here.
All right, Jacob Babbitt, if you're awake, go ahead. Who's your player of the game yesterday?
You can't go away from Mo Wagner. That's going to be my pick as well. He just hit so many big shots throughout the course of the entire game, especially in the second half. Like you said, when Michigan State seemed like they were maybe making a push, you know, he was hitting a step-back three, or he was hitting that crazy Dirk-like shot over his defender. So it's got to be Mo Wagner. And after this week, easily the Purdue game could have had a different finish, but you really can start considering this Michigan team to be maybe not a dark horse, but maybe a legit title contender in the Big Ten. Showing that they can compete with the top two teams in the conference easily. And I don't know, I think they've got a good shot. Maybe, if not at a regular season title, definitely make a run in the Big Ten tournament and go all the way to the NCAA tournament.
All right, Matt Leach, can you say Mo Wagner again as your player of the game?
It's hard to pick anybody else when he played as well as he did. again, shooting the ball. He did play very well defensively. I think he had four, tied for our leading rebounder with four rebounds in the game. Played great on Ward when Livers coming over with the double. I think something that is going to kind of get lost in the game, because he played so well, Rockman didn't necessarily score a lot, but he was 7 for 7 from the line. And then I thought he did a great job guarding Langford, who I think he only had 8 points, and most half of those were from the free throw line. So I think that's the most unheralded part of our win yesterday is Rockman's defense and maybe Matthews' defense. But no, I mean, when you score 27 points, you tie your career high. Again, that Dirk-esque fadeaway, and then, you know, hitting the state fans with the shh as you're running back. Yeah, you got to give him the MVP yesterday.
Y'all need to be quiet up in here. This is my time.
All right, well, let's take our first break. When you come back, we're going to look at the outlook of this team. Plus, they have a quick turnaround as they play Maryland, I believe, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Very quick turnaround. All right, listen, you're listening to The Playground on Sports Talk 1050, WTK, The Ticket.